A moment, Mr. Thomas, we'll be right with you, sir. And how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Doing okay.
Great, great.
How you guys doing?
We're doing okay as well. So one of our distinguished colleagues will be conducting your hearing in just a moment, sir. And that will be the Honorable. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, sir. Just a moment, just hold on, get all that paperwork together.
All right, Mr. Thomas, can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Ryan Thomas, 207-675.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed your form on October 5th. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And that form listed your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you can hire an attorney at your expense to represent you. I don't see an attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. You can see on the video screen that there are four board members participating in this hearing. Way down the opposite end from me, to my left and your right, is the Honorable David Neal. In the center of the bench here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today. And also in the room with us is Mr. Osborne, who's a community corrections officer representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And before we get started, I need to swear you both in. So Mr. Thomas and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Thomas?
Yes, I do. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I do, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas, this hearing will be in two phases. In the first phase, we determine whether you violated the conditions of community supervision. And in the second phase, we determine if we should put you back on community supervision or revoke your community supervision. So, to start phase one, I'm going to read information from your warrant. And as I read each of these allegations to you, I need you to tell me if they're true or false.
Okay.
Okay? So,
yes, ma'am.
And then the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions of supervision. So let's start with phase one, with allegation number one, which is that you had violated the conditions of supervision and had lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal vice or company by violating condition of supervision number 7 by failing to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about June 23, 2017 per the task individual testing compliance summary dated September 1st, 2017. Mr. Thomas, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. And allegation number 2, violation of condition of supervision number 7 again, demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 28, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated September 1st, 2017. Mr. Thomas, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you. And then the third allegation is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2, demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about August 7th, 2017, as verbally directed on August 3rd, 2017, and at that point you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Thomas, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Thomas's admission for allegations 1, 2, and 3, I move to find him delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
All right, thank you. Mr. Thomas, just give me a quick moment here to mark something. All right. Now, we will move on to phase two of your hearing, Mr. Thomas, and determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne will give us some background information, and we'll be right back with you. Just hang on the line there. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, Mr. Thomas was released from DOC custody on December 6th of 2017. He was arrested on September 13th of 2017 by the Coolidge Police Department on his absconders, warrant status, and old warrants. He was returned back to our custody on September 21st of 2017 with 37 absconders with a community supervision end date of January 11th of 2018. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. And 2016 marijuana violation, 3 years, 6 months. He's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is STG and gang information noted that per DPS GangNet, he is an Eastside Crip from California. Prior terms of supervision, he has a moderate disciplinary history. Other arrests, 2006, marijuana violation, AZ juvenile probation. 2007, threat and intimidate, AZ juvenile probation. 2007, disorderly conduct, AZ juvenile probation. 2009, assault, juvenile detention, AZ juvenile detention. And 2009, disorderly conduct, AZ juvenile detention. And he has a community risk score of G4V5.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. All right. Mr. Thomas, we have a case supervision summary, so a little bit of other information about you. It looks like you were approved to live at TLC in Apache Junction, but you were discharged from there, and you went to live with your brother Trent Thomas on Van Buren Street in Avondale. So what happened over at TLC? Why were you discharged from TLC?
Well, I was discharged allegedly because a dude said that I had threatened him. And my parole officer said since there was no charges being filed against me, she didn't want me to go back over there for a simple fact. She didn't want me to go off of them to get locked back up in prison off of he say, she say.
Right, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So
did you threaten the guy?
No, ma'am. Not at all.
What happened? What was the incident about?
Well, because I was going to the house to call somebody out to come outside, and the dude that came outside, he was telling me that I couldn't go in the house, and I was like, man, who are you? You're not a manager there. Like, you don't work here. You just a person like me living here. And so he thought I was coming up sideways. He went and told the office some stuff because he's an SSI. So he made up some stuff, and I didn't even have nothing to do with him. I didn't touch him, I didn't threaten him, I didn't say nothing to him.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. Thank you for that. Were you working at all? We don't have any record of employment. Were you working?
I just got my job back in East Mesa, Waterland Hay.
East Mesa, okay. All right. It looks like you had a color code given to you in task for substance abuse testing, but there were a couple instances where it says there was no sample collected. Did you get called to go give a sample and you couldn't get over there, or what was going on with that?
Well, once my parole officer approved me to go to my brother's house, I didn't have no phone. The phone that I was using was somebody at the halfway house. It was like an old Obama phone.
Okay. So you had no way to call in to task, is what
I
said?
I had no way to call. Yes, ma'am, I had no way to call in.
Okay. All right. What were you doing when the Coolidge police arrested you? Why did you come to their attention?
They said I was walking down the road and matched the description of somebody.
Okay, so they just ran a check on you and, because you, they may have thought you were somebody else.
Yeah, I just stayed there, I went up on my cuffed up and told them, you know, he said, DOC wants you back, and I said, okay.
Okay, got it. Now, you were out for on abscond status for 37 days. What were you doing during that time, during those 37 days?
Nothing. I got a job. I had a death in the family.
I'm sorry. You said you had a death in the family?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please accept our condolences on that.
Okay, appreciate it. And I called my parole officer and told her that I had a death in the family. And the first thing she said to me is, well, send me a picture of the obituary. And I was like, that's the only thing how you feel, is just send me a picture of the obituary. And we out here having car washes and barbecues and try to raise money to bury my brother. And that's the first thing she said, is send me a picture of the obituary. I didn't feel no condolences or nothing from her. So I was like, she don't care about what I'm going through. I wasn't on my cerebral, I wasn't on my meds. And it was just hard for me, so I just gave up. I didn't feel no sympathy.
Understood. So, I may have misheard you, but did you just say meds?
Yeah.
So you take meds?
Yes, ma'am, I take Seroquel.
And does it help you?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Good. All right. Yes, I know.
I lost my mom and my brother back to back.
Wow.
At a young age.
Yeah.
My brother died in a car accident. When we buried my brother, my mom died the next day of a heart attack.
Oh, yes. That's very, very rough. I'm very sorry to hear that. That's very, very difficult for you. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Dr. Wright?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Thomas, maybe you already answered this and I just didn't pick it up. Exactly what were you doing those 37 days that you absconded, sir? What were you doing?
Looking at a job, staying out of trouble. I had a death in the family, and that's what made me go in this county. That I had a death in the family, and my parole officer didn't show no sympathy. But I was out there working, I was doing the right things, staying out of trouble. And at the halfway house, they said I had a good record there, that I could come back to the halfway house with no problem.
Whether this board let you out now or you get out in January, what are your immediate plans? What do you want to do, sir?
I want to change my life and stay out of this prison system. This is my first time being in big trouble. I want to get back out there, work, and be with my kids, and take care of my family like a man's supposed to. Stay out of trouble and sit down. I've been on my own since 2005. Since my mom died of a heart attack, my pops was going through losing a son and a wife. I haven't really had nobody there for me. Now it's time for me to man up. I'm not getting no younger. And my mom being gone, I got to man up and go provide for my family and be the man that I need to be that she left me to be.
That's a great philosophy, and I hope that you will and not forget that whenever you get out. Now, how many kids do you have, sir?
I have two, sir.
And who's responsible for them now that you're incarcerated?
My baby mother.
Okay, so y'all going to remain together once you're out? You and your baby's mother, y'all going to continue to be father and mother for the kids?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how old are the kids, may I ask, sir?
One is 8 and 1 is 4.
Oh, okay. A good age. Now, regardless of what this board gets you out now, you get out in January, and I'm just going to say this. It's time for you, as you have said, it's time for you, my words, man, it's time for you to man up, because you really need to be an example for those kids. I mean, you, as you say, your mother is no longer living, and therefore it's time for you to be the man of the family, and I hope that you'll take that serious whenever you get out, sir. And I wish you the best. Thank you so much, Mr. Thomas. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Sir, any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Osborne.
Mr. Osborne.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Just after being discharged from TLC for threatening someone with bodily harm, he was supposed to report to the office on A3 of 2017, and that's why the phone call was made to the offender. And he did say a family member had passed, and they just asked that he show up on A7 with proof, because he didn't show up. He was supposed to be put into the CHC program. You know, they went all the way up to the 25th, hadn't heard from him since, spoke with his sister, who did say there was a family member did pass, and she would give him the message to report. Still no word from the offender. On 9/11, absconder reduction program letters were mailed out to three different addresses. The 12115 West Van Buren, 1811 Avondale, Arizona, and 1445 South Sycamore, and number three was to Los Angeles, California. So those went out too, and still no word from the offender at that time. So they gave it almost over a month to give him a chance to come in before they wrote the warrant.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Mr. Thomas, this is your first, I guess you had probation as a juvenile, but this is really your first time being on parole.
Yeah.
And parole officers, it sounds like you may have gotten off a little bit out of sync with your parole officer in particular. Sometimes people have a bad day and they say things they really didn't mean to say. So I'm hoping, and maybe you can kind of cut your parole officer a little bit of slack for that, because maybe they were having a terrible day too. But it was not a nice thing they said. But usually parole officers try to work with you. I mean, they want you to succeed too. They don't want to have you fail on their caseload, because that's their job, is to make you transition back. So I'm thinking, and it's difficult when you don't have a phone and you can't communicate that well, but it sounds like they did give you some chances with these. Do you understand the absconder reduction program letters, where they send the letters to your place where you're living if you've kind of gone missing, and it's kind of an ollie-ollie-in free, no harm, no foul, just come on and let us know where you are. I mean, because they just want to know where you are, because you're kind of missing. So if you get those, you really have to pay attention to those and work with your PO. So it sounds like they were trying at least, but you had the lack of a phone and you couldn't contact them and any of that. Mr. Thomas, you have not had a lot of experience in the criminal justice system, and I got to tell you, we see people with records as long as both arms, and you don't have that. And you've got two young kids. You've got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old that you're going to be the father to those kids. You don't want to end up back in the criminal justice system again. So I know you don't, and we want you to succeed too. So whatever this board decides today, know that we want you to be out there and be successful in the community. It looks like you're, what do we have for a, is it December 5th? There's not one
December
written
5th?
On here.
Yeah.
It's not written on here.
I meant to ask that too.
I'm sorry.
January 11th.
Oh, January 11th. We didn't get the new date. January 11th.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
So, so your date, because of absconding, when you abscond, then that adds on to the end and pushes the date out farther in the future. So so your release date at this point would be January 11th rather than earlier December 5th. So the board is going to, do you have anything else that you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion and make a decision on that? What else would you like us to know?
I just like you guys to know, you know, I appreciate you guys listening, hearing me out, and showing the sympathy. You know, like you said, whether it's today or January 11th, I thank God. You know, I get back out there with my kids. My son is 8 and my daughter's 4, so I know he's looking at me. I don't want my son to think this is the life.
Right.
You know, when I got out, I seen him when I started crying, and you know, my son looked at me and he said, "Daddy, I'm 8. You know, like I didn't know, and it hurted my feelings to know, like, he didn't think I know how old he was. So, you know, I don't want him to think that this is the life, and I appreciate you guys hearing me and listening to me. So have a blessed life and a blessed day, and I thank you guys for everything.
All right, thank you, Mr. Thomas. Just, the board is going to go into discussion, and it may sound like we're talking to you, but it's the board talking among itself, because we don't discuss cases outside this room. So if you just hang on the line there, and you can certainly listen in, because everything's open to the public. But the board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate case, to use our esteemed board chairman's words, especially since Mr. Thomas was dealing with not one, but two deaths in his family, and limited means of communication, although there are phones other places that certainly can be borrowed. Has a pretty short involvement with the criminal justice system, was not doing anything particularly criminal when he was arrested. He was just happened to match somebody else's description, and has two kids, is very young, has a good likelihood of being successful on the outside. So I am really kind of on the fence on this one. So I would really like to hear some input from my fellow board members. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I don't want to be dismissive of 37 Mascondes. I know that that's something that we take very seriously as a board. But I've listened closely to this young man, and I'm open to returning him to community supervision, really on a note of encouragement. I think he might respond well to that. Maybe some... again, this is one voting member's opinion, but maybe some amended conditions dealing with his behavioral health. But I'm open to it, and certainly open to the wisdom of my colleagues. Thank you.
Any other input?
Yes, ma'am.
I
agree. You know, under ordinary circumstances, I would not, but I think that it seems that this might be one of those that we can give that opportunity and trust that he won't let us down. And I think, you know, he sounds as if he knows, he can see the future, and this is his first one. And I think that he has to recognize that if this board votes that way, we're just giving him a chance, because he did abscond for 37 days, and we just cannot condone anyone who absconds. But I think that he's worth giving an opportunity, and hopefully he will not let this board down. Therefore, I'm willing to give him an opportunity with amended conditions, as was suggested by the Honorable Mr. Kalanis.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Neal, any thoughts?
Anything to add?
Okay, all right. Well, then I am going to make a motion that I would move to return, based on our discussion with Mr. Thomas, the fact that he has two kids out there who need a father. He has very limited involvement in the criminal justice system. This is his first time being on community supervision as an adult. And so needs to understand that he has to work with his PO, but I think possibly this will impress that upon him. So I'm going to move to return Mr. Thomas to community supervision, and with the former conditions and some amended conditions. Let's look here what we might use. I would say must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that offers some sort of mental health treatment. And participate in mental health treatment plan and take medications as prescribed. And the other conditions to continue as they had continued, had been imposed before. Mr. Osborne, anything else that's...
Yes, ma'am, you said the same condition as before with the mental health treatment?
Yes.
And also to take medications as prescribed?
Yes, sir.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, very good, thank you. So that is my motion.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Kane.
Agree.
All right, oops. Sorry, Mr. Thomas, I'm writing with a pen that's not working very well. So you heard the board's discussion, and the board has voted to return you to community supervision, but I just want to say to you, we want you to succeed, and we want you to not let us down. We want you to go out there and be a father to your two kids, your 8-year-old boy. We want you to be there with him and help him grow up. And as you said yourself, guide him so that he does not get involved in the criminal justice system. You've seen enough of it to know it's no way of life. It's no way to be. So go out there and be successful. Not that we don't like you, but we sure hope we never see you again in this setting. If we see you again, maybe you'll be at Safeway or somewhere like that. Okay, Mr. Thomas? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for participating in your hearing. This hearing is concluded, and no further discussion may take place. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Thank you.